Father, for the time that again is before us to study thy word, not only be challenged by it, but to be comforted as well as strengthened. May God the Holy Spirit therefore accomplish these purposes in our life so we might glorify thee in time, for we ask in Christ's name, amen. And again, our objective under the second radical is to glorify God in time and receive blessing. Again, we have X, which equals salvation. Y, where most of you are at the present time. Y, of course, is the combination of two judicial imputations, the first of which is the imputation of all personal sin to Christ and judged by the justice of God. What is the second? Now you see why I review. And I'm looking at people that in times past have criticized review. They review is too much. What is the second judicial imputation? The imputation of? The imputation, how about if I say the double imputation of righteousness to us? We share double portion imputation, double portion righteousness because of our position in the Lord Jesus Christ as royal family. Now then, why is it a judicial imputation? Well, as you know, under a real imputation, there is a target or an affinity. There is something to which that imputation is given. For instance, in the first we had Adam's original sin, which is imputed to the genetically formed sin nature. We have human life, which is imputed to biological life. There is an affinity between the two. There is a target. However, here, to impute all personal sins to Christ at the cross, what is the affinity? There is none. What is the target? There is none. So it is a judicial imputation. It is the judgment or the justice of God imputing something to something else where there is no affinity. What is the affinity of the righteousness of Christ and the righteousness of the Father imputed to us as unbelievers? There is none. Outside of the fact that as a result of that, the human spirit is created and we are, of course, a new spiritual species. Remember, there are two species on earth as human beings. There are those that are born in Adam, and there are those that are reborn in Christ. The wages of the Adamic nature is spiritual death. The wages of the divine nature, having been made partaker thereof, is eternal life. It is upon eternal life that we build our entire physical life. Or at least, that's what we're encouraged to do as we study the Word of God. Eternal life, of course, is imputed as a result of the completion of the salvation package. It is then carried over into the last radical with the missing factor, and the missing factor is the completion of the believer in time as an immature, growing believer, and that is blessing. God will not impute blessing to you until you reach capacity. As soon as you reach capacity, blessing will come to you in one of five areas. We have studied this in detail, but if I were to ask you again to list them, you would probably give me the same list you gave me the last time. So very quickly, the five categories of spiritual blessing for the believer in review. The first is a major category which everyone excluded, called spiritual blessing. And spiritual blessing involves such as sharing the happiness of God, occupation with the person of Christ, the ability to face undeserved suffering in time, which most of you must admit, you can somewhat face deserved suffering, but it is very difficult for an immature believer to face undeserved suffering. The first thing you scream and kick and yell is, that's, what's the next phrase? Unfair. That's unfair. And you see, the mature believer knows that since he is living in the devil's world, that nothing is fair in the devil's world. But he is so occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and has that sustaining peace within. That's the key. It's not that the believer goes around with one of these on his face all the time. Whenever I see that, I am very curious and also extremely cautious. Why am I curious? I want to know what they're smiling about. Why am I cautious? Because I think they belong in a mental institution. And I don't want to get too close to this person for fear that I might catch whatever it is they have. I've been around a lot of believers, and they think that that's the way you're supposed to go around, and when you do that, you're a happy believer. No, I think it's a cover-up. Of course, I'm not suggesting that you look like some of you do this evening. Some of you could, foster somewhat of a smile and learn how to, from time to time, sound like our rather boisterous, humorous individual in the rear, who, by the way, got all the way to the front of the auditorium and has slid and his back slid all the way back to the back row again. And I have a feeling that it's because of David and Kathleen, and they have coerced her to sit in the backslider's row. But you see, when you are sharing the happiness of God and you're occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and you have capacity for life, for blessing, and for happiness, and a total appreciation of the grace of God, you understand that anything you get above the misery that you are designed to get in the devil's world is grace. And he even takes up the slack in that area as well. And too often, it is a problem because we have from time to time contact, for those of you that are advancing believers and have at least entered into portions of what I'm suggesting this evening, and you're around very young believers who are intolerant, who are always yelling and complaining and are argumentative and so on, and you try to get them to relax, and they may think you're just old and decrepit and therefore you're no longer functioning as a member of the human race. No, it is the peace of Christ within, amid all of the torment. It's a part of the faith rest drill, because eventually you have appropriated so many of the promises that God has afforded us that eventually, you know, a strange thing happens. You begin to believe them. And then after you believe them, you begin to apply them. Amazing. And as a result of that, then what is said in written form now becomes an integral part of your experience. And you are calm in unrestful situations. You can tolerate undeserved suffering. Even though you know it's unfair, you don't have to go around telling people how unfair it is and how you were ill-treated and how you were mistreated and how awful that individual was that did whatever they did to you. But you see, it's a matter of spiritual growth, and let's be patient with each other, because remember, all adult believers were once baby believers, and some of them may have even acted worse than all of you combined. So the ability to face undeserved suffering, the ability to correctly interpret contemporary history. If current events tend to bother you, upset you, annoy you, anger you, and disturb you, you fail to recognize that you can interpret history in the light of the Word of God. Especially when you summarize it all by saying, Jesus Christ controls history. And nothing will ever be done that is outside of His control. The Lord Jesus will never lose control, did never lose control, and therefore, for the believer who is advancing, especially the mature believer, he is totally settled in the fact that regardless of the decisions of stupid man in stupid positions throughout the world, Christ still controls history. And the key is, are you being controlled by Him? And if you are, then I have an assurity for you. Regardless of the decisions of man, you will survive. Because you see, the very one that controls history controls your destiny. That's nice to know. I'm glad my hands are not in the government of any country. And I'm not looking for the government for anything. As a matter of fact, I wish they'd get out of my life, much less out of my face. Just let me be. Give me my rights and privileges under the Constitution and the amendments and all of the rights that I should enjoy under the Bill of Rights. And then the rest of that stuff, you don't have to give me health care, damn it. I don't want it. I got my own. And it hasn't been very long that we've had it. And before then, well, in whom was my insurance? And by the way, that doesn't mean to say that because I got health insurance, I just quit trusting in the Lord for my health. Health insurance is not to keep you healthy. Okay? So it is really a misnomer. It should be called sick insurance. Because the only time you need it is when you're ill. Now, some insurances are required by law, and therefore under those rights, I have a volitional decision as to whether or not I will abide by the law. And still, and since I'm under the law of God before the law of man, I must abide by man's laws. And so he says, you will have car insurance. And so I've purchased car insurance ever since it was mandatory. If I had the option, I might not have it. When I rode a motorcycle, I opted to wear a helmet. I didn't want anybody telling me I had to wear one. I wore one because I had enough common sense to know that the helmet that was on my head was far superior to the structure of my skull. And if I was going to go sliding down the highway, I wanted to have something more than my skull preventing me from being injured. It does house your brain, you understand, and that is why it is made out of the varying substances that it's made of. But a helmet is about 15 to 20 times stronger. And it was rough during the summertime. I even had one of those face shields that I would pull down, and I would perspire. There was no question about it. But I was always comforted in knowing that the rest of my body might be broken into little pieces, but at least I could end up a head in a bed. My thinking would still be stabilized. Every other word out of my mouth, however, might be ouch or ow, but at least I was assured that my mind would remain constant, whatever that means. It means something to me. It may mean something completely different to you. For some, it might not mean anything at all. Freedom from slavery of the circumstances of life. All of these are beautiful illustrations of blessing for the believer in time. You are free from circumstantial situations. That doesn't mean you are not confronted with them. That doesn't mean that you do not daily make decisions with regard to them. But here's the beauty. Being under spiritual advisement, you make the right decision. And therefore, you don't fall prey to the various snares and traps that are set up by the varying circumstances of life, including people, by the way. Grace orientation, freedom orientation, authority orientation. And you know something that is really missing in the time in which we live? Common sense. And with that comes something else that should be common to man, and something I'm going to add because it is a part of authority orientation, and it's simply called manners. Most people today are probably 150 times worse than they were 25 years ago in their manners. Very rarely do you hear, "I beg your pardon," if you don't hear what someone says. It's so much easier to say, "Eh," see? "Huh?" Which is guttural for, "I beg your pardon." Or, "Excuse me." You see, that would be demeaning. You understand? Because by saying "excuse me," you are admitting that it isn't the fault of the person that you didn't hear, but rather your lack of attention or your inability to hear them. Instead of squaring off and saying, "I can't hear you, speak louder," you know, with everything drawn down. Now, of course, my wife and I play that game, but we smile when we say that, and we do have a reason for it. If you've lived long enough, you are going to suffer a certain amount of hearing loss. And I'm always encouraged when I go to visit my stepfather because he plays the television about one notch below top volume. And then, of course, when you go to talk to him, it's always, "Eh?" And so it's shouting back and forth, and my mother will say something to him, and she doesn't hear very well either. So between the both of them, the conversations are absolutely hilarious. It makes a great time. I would just rather shut off the TV and sit back and watch them both in a simple conversation. He gets messed up. She already had it messed up because she heard it wrong from someone else. And so it is perpetuated in error. And it becomes rather, well, humorous. The second is called temporal blessing. Wealth, professional prosperity, social prosperity, sexual prosperity, technical prosperity. Oh, even the ones that are hard of hearing heard that. Cultural prosperity, and of course cultural prosperity having to do with the maximum enjoyment of the arts, and I mean true art. We've discussed that before. Literature, music, and the like. Establishment prosperity, you really begin to enjoy your freedom. You know, no matter how much you complain about this country and the way things are going in it, I don't know of any other country in the world where we have what we have as far as our freedoms. Check other nations. I'll tell you what, how would you like to live in Haiti? Even the name bothers me. It sounds like a country of people who dislike one another. Hate. If I'd have named the place, I'd have named it something like Likey or Lovey or Nicey, but not Haiti. enjoyment of your freedom. I enjoy my freedom. Isn't it nice to know that any one of us, provided, of course, we have the financial resources at any time, can get in our vehicle and drive any place in the United States, whether continental United States, or on into Alaska, or over to Hawaii. You can't drive to Hawaii, however. But nevertheless, without fear of being stopped any place and being questioned with regard to where is your permit, where are your rationing cards for your automobile, for gasoline. We complain about the price of fuel in this country, whether it be diesel or, but go to Europe. How about $5 to $8 a gallon? You ever wonder why they drive those little stinky cars? They have to. 90% of them go around on little scooters. They need something that does about 400 to 600 miles on a gallon. And I know one thing, there's no backseat romances in those vehicles. So the illicit pregnancy rate is considerably lower than it is in this country. See, prosperity also brings condemnation. Big cars, as such. Enjoyment of freedom, enjoyment of privacy, enjoyment of protection of life. All right, so you say, we have one of the highest crime rates in the world. Did you ever stop to think that there's two sides of a coin regarding crime, which most people don't realize? You say, what are the two sides? One is called the act itself, the criminal act. But there's another one that's also called detection and or police investigation. And I suggest to you possibly where here in Arizona we are accused of having high crime rates, maybe because we have high criminal arrests based on good law enforcement. Two sides. And in areas, for example, look, if you don't detect a crime or no one says anything about it, what's going to happen to your, quote, crime rate? It's going to appear to be down. Where, in fact, it may be terribly high. So consider that, if you would. And you see, I've always pacified myself with that regard, having been a law enforcement officer for many years. When somebody would suggest to me that there's a lot of criminal activity, and I'd say, no, that's good law enforcement. We catch the crooks. That's the idea. And that's a part of where you get your statistics. There are countries of the world that I'm sure have considerably more murders than we have, but when the value of life is second to a chicken, they are not going to consider it murder. In the large Arab countries, you know that a woman is second to an animal. And a female daughter is looked upon probably about a step and a half below a donkey. Plus, how many nations that you at least have been aware of, or if you haven't, I'll make you aware of them, consider the birth of twins an anathema, and therefore they murder one at birth? Well, you're not going to read that in the stats. And others, of course, that run through the bush and eat one another, as in cannibalism. How are you going to put that on a statistic? By how many heads he has hanging around his belt? You see? So when you're talking about civilized people and semi-civilized, partially civilized,
comparatively civilized, you may get completely different statistics. Well, we are protected by the Holy Spirit, not only of our possessions, but from criminals as such. Health can also be a form of blessing. Blessing by association, and we warned you last evening, and this is really what precipitated my going into this. I was going to mention it again, that if you receive blessing by association without capacity, it may not be a very happy experience for you. It may be a source of misery. Because without capacity, blessing in your life is turned to misery. As a matter of fact, principally speaking, any lack of capacity equals misery. I've taken people with me to some beautiful places in this world. Well, more specifically, in the United States. And because they did not have the capacity, to them, it was just not only a big waste of time, but they were bored. And it may not be anything more than just standing on a beach. One of the most peaceful and wonderful experiences that I had when I lived on Long Island was to get up around 4 in the morning, get my surf pole, my bag of tricks, which included every conceivable lure that you could use in the ocean, and my dog. I had to get him because, well, he just wouldn't let... He'd probably have retaliated had I not taken him. Because the minute he'd see me get that surf pole down, he'd start jumping, he knew. And just walk along the beach to the point where I was going to fish and just watch the sun come up and see the water just smoothly rolling in on Long Island Sound. Very calming. Very peaceful. And your eyes are getting heavy. And at the snap of my finger, some of you don't even need that to do that. You're already dozing because you're dozers. Be thankful you don't have the word bull in front of your name. Then you'd be a bulldozer. But it's a bunch of bull to me, and I can't even conceive why you can't stay awake. Look, I've been around boring speakers, and I know I'm not one of them. I try to be as encouraging and dramatic and artistic and reflexive and emotional as I can get. Of course, I don't cry. And I won't. It makes you even look bad, you see. That doesn't mean to say that I won't ever. I'm not planning on it. Blessing by association can occur with loved ones, business life, social life, and even those within the local church. And you've noticed that I have excluded the other three because they are inconsequential as far as those within the local church. If you don't socialize with others in the local church, that's not necessary. This is not a mutual admiration society, nor is it a local community center. If you want that, join the Y. And then you'll find out that you cannot speak of biblical things in the young men's or young women's Christian organization. Or from it. You remember how Pat Hill was restrained from the YWCA in mentioning anything that was biblical in her studies to the ladies that were assembled. Isn't that a pity? Boy, we've come a long way. But you see, you must be relaxed. What do you expect? Geographical blessings. It's wonderful to know that as a super grace believer, you play a very important part in the stabilization of your city, state, and nation. You've heard me say it before, and I doubt if many of you believe it, but as the believer goes, so the nation goes. You play an integral part. So don't complain about the nation if you're not doing anything to sustain it. As a matter of fact, let me suggest to you something which I said about the third day that I was here 25 years ago, that the greatest traitors of this country are not the communists, are not those that are stealing secrets from our government and giving them to foreign powers, but rather the born-again believer who rejects the Word of God as the modus operandi of his life. That's a traitor. Because you are doing more to destroy the nation by your lack of biblical interest than any other erotive quality that could ever occur within the underminings of a healthy nation. What destroyed Israel? It had nothing whatever to do with their enemies. Oh, their enemies eventually took them over. But what always preceded enemy takeover and being eventually enslaved? Spiritual decline. They even got to the point, if you remember, for those of you that were at camp, and I was reminded of it when I heard it again from the lips of Bob Childress, that the nation of Israel had gotten to such a low point in their life, they weren't even aware of what the Word of God was. And when they found it, they questioned as to what it was. During the period of the Judges, there is a statement that is made that I think could parallel most churches today. The Word of God was scarce in those days. Scarce. It was as rare as finding diamonds in your backyard. The King James, unfortunately, translates it, the Word of God was precious in those days. And that, of course, is far from the meaning, unless you mean precious, as being scarce. But the Hebrew is scarce. In the average church tonight, if they're even having a Bible class tonight, because let's face it, it's Thursday. And who goes to Bible class on Thursday? We all know that Wednesday night is the scheduled time for midweek class. And you should have heard the uproar of antagonism when we had Bible class every night, Monday through Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning, Thursday evening, Friday night, Saturday night, two on Sunday, one on Sunday evening, and going. You say, well, why did they stop? Simple. You stopped coming. I didn't stop. You stopped. Notice I'm still here. And I would much rather see a size like this for three nights a week than to have two people show up seven nights a week. And I made it even more difficult because the studies were concurrent and sequential. At one point, get this one, I had 14 Bible classes all going within the week and taught 14 different subjects. But that's when I was much younger, and I could keep them all straight. This is Sunday night, isn't it? The fourth is historical blessing, and this has to do with what you leave after you're gone. So to make it simple, from 2 Timothy 1:5, the mature believer becomes the stabilizer of his immediate generation and then leaves the principles of stabilization for future generations. See, you're probably aware of the fact that somebody must have done that. You know why? Because we still have the Word of God, and we still have the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. So somebody in the past must have left to us as a part of his heritage, like Louis Sperry Chafer and other great men of the Word of God. And I think we're going to see in the future men being raised that will leave an impact. And I hope they come out of Westside Bible. By men, I mean men and women. I'm talking about mankind. You know, men are not the only one that make great impacts on history. Women do too. But I would hate to think that the thinking of tomorrow would be based on the thinking of the women's libbers. You notice how much credit and interview power we give to the minorities in this country. And I'm not talking about racial minorities or nationalities. I'm talking about groups. The voice of the homosexuals. And we want to give them I'll give them their. Let's just shut them up. See, I happen to be one that believes what the Word of God says. And the Word of God clearly says that it was punishable by death. And when was the last time you heard one getting arrested and been given the death penalty based on biblical law? So we've come a long way, baby. Now women are smoking in public. Virginia Slims, namely. But now you see it is not politically correct to smoke any place. And again, I suggest to you, anybody that's an ex anything is a pain. Ex-smokers, ex-drunks, ex-wives, ex-husbands, all the rest of the ex. They always have nasty things to say about the opposite number. Look, because you couldn't do it or it didn't work for you, it might work well for someone else. And after all, the little that we have, humanly speaking, let's enjoy it. Now, people ask me from time to time, why do you do that? Because I enjoy it. So get out of my face. I happen to be one of those strange people that do what he does because he likes it. That doesn't make me, what's the first part of fancy free? Okay. That doesn't make me the other damn fancy free. Footloose? Now there's a good one. What a language you people have. The second one at least made some sense. Footloose? What does that mean, that it's ready to drop off? Footloose. No wonder I couldn't remember it. It does not seem to make any sense to me. Historical impact. Very few believers have ever had historical impact, but I can think back and look back in history. Tremendous historical impact. And it's always a rare few. And, you know, then I get into this kind of a, well, melancholy, dreaming attitude, and I think, suppose a whole church full of people had historical impact. Wow. And I'm so overwhelmed by it, I wake up. The last is dying blessing. And remember, folks, there are two ways in which you're going to check out. One is to the glory of God, and the other is good riddance to bad rubbish. You'll either die via the sanitation department. In other words, someone will wheel you out to the curb, and a garbage truck will pick you up the next morning, or you will have such phenomenal impact in your physical death that will affect hundreds of people around you. And the lasting effects may be for centuries. Instead of who? Oh, I think I knew that person. Oh man, it was only 2 years ago. Well, did they sit kind of over there? Were they kind of about that big? Did they have eyes? So you're always safe when you do that because you've covered the spectrum. No, Hazel. Oh. And that was his name. And what does it all boil down to? 1 Peter 3:15, set apart Christ as Lord in your life. Your thinking has to be set apart, sanctified. You see, the word sanctified means to set apart, and that's why we're translating it set apart. The King James says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Well, we know better than that. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot occupy your cardia, your physical heart, nor does he want to. Matter of fact, you ever stop to think that if that were true, if anyone had a heart transplant, he'd be giving someone else salvation adjustment? So quit using the phrase accepting Christ into your heart. It's stupid. I heard it recently, and it nauseated me. It only shows ignorance. No, it has to do with thinking. Set apart the Lord Jesus in your thinking. That's what you really are. See, you are not what you appear to be. Although we spend an awful lot of time on our appearance. And nothing wrong with that. But so little time on what we really are. Are we ashamed of what we really are? Do we not want anyone to really see what we really are? The problem is, the outside just goes along with the inside, and the inside is what you really are, and what's on the outside eventually is a manifestation of what you think. Why do people act strangely? Because they think strangely. Is that too deep? Why are people constantly bitter and vindictive and vicious? Because that's the way they think. Now, you see, as adults, we've learned to do something. And this is a psychological tool. we cover it up. I call that Operation Catbox. We cover it up. Because the real us is covered over by sand. But you see, all you've got to do is scratch the surface a little bit, and there it is. So you see, your body is just surface stuff. What you really are is what you are inside. So if Christ has been sanctified in your thinking, I have a problem with that. Maybe you can answer the question, what would be the lifestyle of that kind of believer? Would it be vicious and evil and sinful? I think not. See, how did my pastor used to put it? I can't remember. He says, methinks. That's I think. Methinks that it ought not to be. With a heavy Scottish brogue, of course. And it was even more Scottish than the people from Scotland. Just like I've met Greeks that have a heavier Greek accent than anyone I've ever met in Greece. I think it's something some people like to perpetuate just to show that they can't learn a language properly. Matthew 6:33 also refers to the second hope. And of course, the fulfillment of that second hope is blessing in time. Your objective in the Christian life should be, I'm not saying it is, I'm saying it should be, to receive what God has set aside for you from eternity past. It's already. He doesn't have to create it. He doesn't even have to alter it. It's been perfectly refined and designed exactly for you. See, that proves that God always makes supply for the alternatives. I hope blessing in time is not an alternative to you. You know why? Because you'll never have it, even though God has supplied it. God doesn't always give us what he has supplied. And blessing is one of them. Let me paint a picture for you. Let's say you've had a desire for something all of your life. In this case, we'll call it blessing. But you never were willing to conform to the conditions of that which you desired. And so it was placed into a box. And then there was a large padlock. And the only one that had the key was the one who had initially supplied the blessing. And you were confined to an area of space. And the only thing that was there was you in the box. And you just saw it. Day after day, week after week, year after year, until you finally died in despair, wondering, what's in the box? Just like, what's in the envelope? See? Of course, you know that Inquirer magazine already knows. It's a baby. It was a baby that was born. Let's see, an alien came and had relations with O.J. Simpson. And he was in Chicago because he wanted to give birth to this creature. And he put it in an envelope. And he bled from his finger. Isn't that silly? That's how silly that. And some of you people, you dummies, you clods, you clucks, you can't wait until the next edition comes out so you can read the latest trash of nothing. Now, does that in any way present to you an unfulfilled situation? What's in the box? That isn't even close to your sitting in that same room for all of eternity and wondering what's in the box. Look, I've told you repeatedly, I'm going to try everything conceivable, everything within my human mental resources to challenge you to have that box poured out into your life. It's already. It need not be prepared. It doesn't have to be altered nor tailored to you. It's exactly what God provided from eternity past for you on the basis of your reaching maturity. Which means, by the way, this is important. Since that is the case, then what was God's expectation for you? If he supplied the blessing contingent on your reaching maturity. You're reaching maturity. Do you read into that anyone that was cheated? Do you read into that that's the way the cards were dealt? Remember the great dealer in the sky? Las Vegas heaven. That's the way the wheel turned. That's the, excuse the pun, wheel of fortune. Oh, 'tis kismet, my friend. 'Tis kismet. Which means you got the short end of the stick. Or we used to put it better in the service. You remember it, guys? You never got the short end of the stick. You just got the shaft. And we were sitting around saying, boy, I've been shafted. And then we even developed it even better. We said, yeah, but this one has a curl to it, and it's in color. So we turned it into, the worst of that would be, we got the proverbial barber pole. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about because you don't have them anymore. But outside of a barbershop, they used to have a large multicolored pole, and it used to turn. And it looked like the spiral was going up. And of course, it was an illusion based on the way it was. And that's where the word barber pole came from. Well, you'll notice that the short end of the stick, then the shaft, then the barber pole. See, it gets considerably worse as you go along. And it was all because of the mistreatment and, you know, the awful way that they treated GIs. We were wrong, but, you know, at least it proved one thing. It differentiated us between those in the grave. We were still alive because we were complaining. Their philosophy was a complaining GI at least will fight in the heat of battle. One that doesn't complain would die very quickly. Did you know that? That's their basic philosophy. So they do everything in their power to make you complain. Because they want you to be a good trooper. Imagine going through all of eternity with wonder of wonder. What was in the box? And you'll never know. Father, thank you for the time that we've been challenged this evening, again from your word. We know that you have blessing for us. every believer has had allocated blessing. Thy word confirms that promise. And all we have to do is reach the capacity. And we don't. Challenge us by the things that we've heard this evening, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we'll see.